All right. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can trust you. Mm-hmm. That even when things don't look the way that they should to us, even when things seem to all turn upside down and we don't understand what's going on around us, we know that you see the big picture, that you are still in control, mm-hmm. and that if we will keep our hearts and our eyes fixed on you, that you will, in fact, bring about a result that we can hardly imagine. This is merely preparation for an eternity we can't even imagine. Thank you, Lord, for that reassurance. It is sweet indeed to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
So, Lord, as we take a look at wisdom once again today, I pray that you will grant us wisdom to fulfill the calling that you have placed on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We live in a loud world, do we not?
Yes.
There are voices screaming at us from everywhere. Some of them are silent. They come from the books that we read. Maybe the newspaper. Yeah, I think those are still around. Maybe from social media. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody wants you to take their side. Everybody wants you to agree with them. And then there's those voices that are in our heads. Maybe for some of us, they're not so silent.
Right?
We are surrounded by media, the radio, the TV, the movies. They all have something to tell us. The people around us, when we're young, it's our parents, and hopefully they're telling us the right things. Or it's the teachers that we have in school. Or maybe it's the preacher up in front of you. Or maybe it's other people that we respect. Sometimes it's people we don't respect so much.
Right.
And what are they saying? Are they saying things like, well, you know, you should be happy. And you ought to do whatever it is that makes you feel happy. Or just follow my advice and you'll be happy. Or just buy what I'm selling and you'll be happy.
Right.
Just make enough money and you'll be happy. After all, isn't happiness what God desires for you most?
Yeah.
Or maybe they're telling you something else. Or maybe they're telling you, well, you don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
After all, you're just an animal. There's nothing special about you. Life has no particular value. Maybe you'd even be better off dead. Sometimes those are the voices we hear. If there's a God, he couldn't possibly care about you. But wisdom says something else. Wisdom says if you just look around the world around you, wisdom says there must be a creator.
Right.
Wisdom says that if there then must be a creator, then you are created. And if you are created, then maybe you'd like to know something about the one who created you and what his purpose is for your life. Because you were created for a purpose.
Amen.
And you are very special to him.
Amen.
Hear today the voice of wisdom, the voice of God. We're going to go back to the Proverbs. We'll do this ever so often. All right, I'll make an honest confession. It's sometimes because I don't have any better ideas for the week. But I know that God's Word is always good. And God's Word is always full of life. And I love the Proverbs because of all the books, I don't know of any one of them that is more packed with instructions for how to live your life
right.
than the book of Proverbs. We're in the first part of it now, where Solomon is laying a lot of the groundwork, speaking about wisdom. And we're going to start, we've covered up through verse 19 in previous messages. Now we'll start in verse 20, and we'll read through verse 33. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to me. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you have refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come to you. Then they will call on me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, and they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they will eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. Amen.
Amen.
Wisdom is all around us. Wisdom cries out. Yes, we live in a noisy world. And it goes on heedless of the cry.
Mm-hmm.
It chooses to ignore the cry of wisdom. And yet, wisdom will not be silenced.
Amen.
Wisdom is everywhere evident. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to see because we get distracted by everything else that's around us.
Yes, we do.
But in all aspects of our life, there is a wise way to proceed. It is in the creation around us. It is in the person of wise counsel that we may seek out. It is in God's Word. And we, for our part, must cease our own noise and listen. Because we do not want to be among the willful who turn away from it. There are three categories of people, if you will, mentioned here. And these are people who are willfully turning away. You know, we hear the term naive, or we hear the term fool. Fool. He's not talking here about somebody who is just uninformed, but rather someone who is willfully uninformed.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels better not to know.
Right.
And we imagine that if we don't know something, we're not responsible for it. But what is that famous cliche, ignorance is no excuse to the law? The truth is still the truth.
That's right.
To ignore truth doesn't make it go away. Ignorance is not bliss. And what we don't know often does hurt us. Then he speaks of the scoffer. Someone who is a scoffer is someone who, it's a characteristic of somebody who is arrogant. You can see that over in Proverbs 21:24. It is a mark of arrogance, or just as often, I think, if not more so, it is a shield for the insecure. Because at some level, we're aware of the deficiency. And so the bluster and the scoffing at anything that we don't want to agree with or don't like hides the fact that we really don't know anything. The scoffer is defensive at any kind of correction. It's in Proverbs 9:7. It says, he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. And he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Now, all you have to do is watch public figures or watch the news, and you can see this in action. Now, some of those shows, you know, they're going after people who are putting on a show. They don't necessarily pick the best points, the best representatives of each point of view, because they want people that'll get up there and bicker and fight and look stupid because it makes a show for everybody to watch. But you can see when somebody is not able to defend their point of view, they change tactics and they start to attack the character of the other person. They start to yell and scream and make a scene because they can't deal. They can't fight with facts, so they decide to slaughter and slander.
Right.
And this is generally not fruitful to engage. Chapter 9, verse 8 of Proverbs says, "Do not reprove the scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you."
Right.
Because we need correction.
Yes.
And it's good. It's a good thing if we're able to receive it. But the scoffer is blinded to wisdom. 14:6 says of the scoffer, "Scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. But knowledge is easy to one with understanding." Why do they not find it if they're really looking for it? It's because they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking within themselves. And it's never going to be found there. Even the knowledge that they do find is corrupted because it comes from their own perspective. It also says that the scoffer is a source of strife. It said, Proverbs 22:10 says, "Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease." And we all know the one that says pride goes before destruction. And what is the difference then? There's a lot of commonality between these three categories of people that get called out. And next is the fool. And some fools are quite intelligent people. And very much is said of them in the Proverbs. But the first thing, the most important thing, is probably not in Proverbs, it's the one in Psalms. In a couple of different places in Psalms, 14:1 and 53:1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God."
Oh, scary.
It says that they despise wisdom and instruction. It says that they will be destroyed by complacency. We just read that.
Right.
It says that they display dishonor. It says that they cause grief to their parents. It says that they will be ruined by their battle. All we have to do is watch and see these things. It says that they spread, a fool is one who spreads slander. It says that they will die for lack of understanding. It says that they enjoy wickedness. I'm going to take a moment. I wasn't planning on this. I'm going to take a moment to stop it and stop on that one for just a minute. Because how many of us take entertainment in to our minds that involves wickedness and find joy in it? And we convince ourselves that it's okay because it's not real. But we're conditioning our minds to accept that stuff. And it affects our thinking. It also says the fool that he thinks he's right and won't listen to anyone else. That he's quick to anger. That he shouldn't be avoided unless you want to become like him. He says that you can't beat the foolishness out of it. And he says that he's more dangerous than a mother bear robbed of her cubs. And he says that they hate knowledge. And why is that? It's because facts expose foolishness. And I believe that is why the devil is such a liar. He's got to confuse you. He's got to get you to think that things are not true, are true, in order to get away from the truth that's all around us, that tells us who God really is. And there are consequences if we fail to listen. Now, I struggled a little bit with them there in Proverbs 1:26 in our text, because so often when you hear these passages where wisdom is personified, it sounds very much like the voice of God. But wait a minute. It says, I will laugh and mock at your calamity. That doesn't sound like God. But remember this, when we're reading the Proverbs, this particular passage and some others like it are a way of helping us to understand wisdom, and he has personified wisdom in the form of the female form to get us to relate and understand what's being said. This is God's wisdom, not God's voice.
Right.
Though God's voice, of course, speaks wisdom. So, what is the laughing and mocking? I believe it is what we hear when we have failed to heed wisdom. Because we learned too late that it was wisdom that we refused. How many times have we, as we've gotten older, looked back on our lives and said, I wish I had listened to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd listened to my mom. I wish I'd listened to that teacher. I wish I had. How many of us have those?
I
dare say all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the point that we come to that conclusion, it's a little late. It might help us going forward, but we can't undo what's already been done. Why is it then that dread is coming? Because we have no foundation. Without wisdom, without God, without His truth, His wisdom, we have no foundation. There is nothing and no one to trust in. So yeah, there's all kinds of reason for dread, for fear. Because we already know those things in which we put our earthly trust are known not to be stable.
That's true.
Money goes away. We lose it.
Yes.
Position goes away. We lose it one way or another eventually. Relationships don't last forever.
Nope.
Sometimes people aren't trustworthy. And so what we fear often does come upon us, and it often comes suddenly. Calamity strikes, and we hear the stories. I talked, I think, last week about the former mayor in our city that was indicted and went to court on charges. Well, this week they were convicted. Don't you know their lives have changed?
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the sentencing hadn't happened or not, whether or not they'll be in jail, we don't know yet. But everything has changed for them. Their family is destroyed. They'll carry that with them.
Their character.
Everything has changed for them. If they had only done what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is, somebody pointed out, I've watched a couple of discussion groups on this, somebody pointed out, this all probably would have happened without the bribery. They could have done everything above board and probably got the same results.
Right.
Some people seem just fine, though. You keep waiting, you keep thinking they're going to fall eventually, and it never seems to happen. But we know there is an eternity, and it is coming, if only at the end of life.
Mm-hmm.
Stress and anguish are simply the results of our folly. Not the only source by any means. But by the time we have realized this, it's too late sometimes. We go looking, we go seeking for knowledge when we figured out we need it, but by this time the damage has been done. And not only that, if we have refused, you know, God can step in sometimes and be merciful. But for the folks who are still turned away, who never really understand what it is that they're missing, they finally go looking for wisdom, but they don't know how to find it anymore. Their ears are dull. They can't hear wisdom anymore. So it says they're going to seek it, but they're going to not be able to find it because they're not able to tell what it is.
Right.
They've hated knowledge and truth for so long that we no longer recognize it when it's in front of us. The root of our problem, rejection of God. He talks about hating knowledge, and in this shows us that it is knowledge that leads us to God. I know we still don't have too many people. We got a few people still in school. They're going to try to tell you that knowledge leads away from God, that we know so much now we don't need God. It's not true. It's not true. In fact, if you will look more closely, if you will look at people who will tell you honestly, you'll find out that far from it, science has not led us away from God. True science has led us toward God because we find out more and more things that prove this had to be designed. And when Darwin wrote his original theory, we had no idea about cells and about the complexity that's at that level. Now when we can see all of that, we can see everything had to be done just right. There's no way that just happened. So rejection of knowledge, rejection of true knowledge, leads to rejection of wisdom and the source thereof. A refusal to accept correction leads us nowhere good. And we'll end up reaping the consequences of our decisions. He says they'll be satiated on their own desires. On their own devices, actually, is what it says. Well, and I was trying to think of how to put that in concrete terms. And the best I can do is thinking of it like, you know, when your kids, you tell the kid, don't eat too much candy, you'll be sick. But they don't listen, do they?
No.
They keep stuffing it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, sometimes we have a hard time growing out of that. The other day, we ordered some stuff in, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I got kind of sick. But But if you did that all the time, I mean, it's one thing to do it once in a while, but if you did that all the time, you would end up getting sick.
Right.
And that self-will would eventually lead to self-destruction. And that's what happens when we get into substances that harm our bodies.
Yeah.
Complacency will also destroy us. If we don't do anything about it, if we think that somehow it's going to be okay if we just ignore it,
yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. But if we turn and listen, he says, the Spirit will be poured out on us. Now, for the believer, that is an especially true statement. Because the author of wisdom is God Himself. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. And the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
As a believer, as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We truly do have within us, if we'll only access it, if we'll only listen, we truly have the Spirit of wisdom within us.
That's right.
But we will also, in that process, learn to think wisely. As we seek wisdom, we'll learn to think differently. And those words that have been spoken, those words that we've read, the things that we fed on will come back to us when we need them. And then he finally says, we'll live securely. Those who listen to the wisdom will live securely and be free from the dread of evil. Understand a couple of things here. Proverbs speaks in generalities. It does not mean that you'll never have anything bad happen. But what it does mean is that you don't need to be afraid. A lot of times it will protect us from the evil that we bring on ourselves by our bad decisions.
Yes.
And when things do happen because we live in a fallen world, we don't need to be afraid of it because we know the one who is greater.
Amen.
Amen.
We know that ultimately good will triumph over evil. How do we know then? We understand that we need to seek wisdom, that we need to listen to wisdom. But how do we know what wisdom is? Well, I can tell you where we can start. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You want to know wisdom? Start with Him. Start with the Word.
Right.
And when you have wisdom, when you have supposed wisdom that comes from other sources, there are some things you can evaluate to determine whether it's really wisdom or whether it's not really wisdom. Earthly wisdom comes from bitterness and selfishness. Selfishness in James chapter 3, verse 14 tells us that. It says that kind of wisdom is natural and comes from just, you know, comes from that whole animal nature, comes from selfishness. That kind of wisdom, he says, is demonic, comes from the devil himself.
Mm.
But heavenly wisdom, to quote James, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits,
amen.
Unwavering, without hypocrisy. It's James 3:17. So we can evaluate what we hear and what we see by those criteria and have at least some understanding of what is wisdom and what is not. So choose wisdom. knowing that it originates from God Himself, choosing to listen and obey. The voice of wisdom is calling out. Are we listening? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us, you have given us wisdom in the form of your word that is before us, that tells us so much. You know, every problem that we're going to face is not in this book, but the underpinning, the logic, the understanding that would allow us to handle anything that comes up is in this book. And we thank you, Lord. Not only that, you've given us your Holy Spirit to guide us in those situations where it's not clear. And you have told us that all we have to do, I meant to put this in here and I forgot, you told us that if we ask, you will give generously and without reproach. Thank you, Lord. You have given us all that we need already. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.